Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and reading from verse 1 of the chapter. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and beginning at verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them which are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart is established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary of the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our gracious and our loving God, we come to thee today, we rejoice in the fact that we have a mighty Saviour. We thank thee for the one who does not change. And we bless thee for one who is always there to meet us at the point of our need. We'd ask thee that thou wouldst comfort our hearts and bless our souls as we contemplate our motto text for 2011. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst write it upon our hearts and that we might look up to thee, the mighty God of heaven. It's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Our motto text for 2011 is verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 13. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. A cynic once remarked that there's nothing permanent in this world except change. We live in a world of change. Everything is changing from the shape of our cars to the price of our homes. We've just entered into this new year. It's a year of special anniversary for us. And there are those of you that can look back across the 60 years that the congregation has been in existence. Some of you can remember the gospel campaign at which there were 90 or so precious souls that were brought to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. You'll remember the controversy that there was. It was tough for you or for your parents to take their stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet God established the work and has blessed it. And now the Free Presbyterian movement is across the five continents of the world. And we can reflect and we can thank God for what he has done in the past, for the mighty revivals, for the mighty blessings that he has given. You can thank him for the blessings that he's given you in your own life down through those years. And this, as we stand on the brink of a new year, is a time to look back, and we look back at what God has done in the past. But also we are on the brink of a new year and we look forward. And as we look forward, perhaps in many ways we would be frightened because there have been dramatic changes since 1951. This world is certainly a different place. And maybe If we announced the gospel campaign when the gospel campaign was announced in 1951, there was an expectation that many in the community would come in. It's harder now. People are not so willing to come along to a gospel campaign. And it is a day when the tide of gospel blessing has gone out. Carl Henry was one of the leaders of new evangelicalism, and there are many things that he held to that we wouldn't agree with. But we would agree with what he said when he said this: our generation is lost to the truth of God. For this loss, it is paying dearly in the swift relapse to paganism. The barbarians are coming. A whole generation is growing up with no awareness of regeneration or the new birth. Savages are stirring the dust of a decadent civilization and already slink in the shadows of a disabled church. The Institute of Public Policy Research reported in 2007 that British teenagers are the worst behaved in Europe. In another report in 2006, there was a comparison between British young people and French and Italian and German youngsters. And the British came top of every table comparing drugs and drink and violence and promiscuity. The UK was the worst in the developed world. As far as teenage pregnancies, it was the worst in the developed world except for the United States. And there's a growing antagonism to religion. Christians are aware of the fact that people are growing up with new morals. They're not the morals of the Bible. In fact, we need to be aware that in many ways people out there look at the morals of the Bible as being immoral, because that is what they have been taught. And as the years has passed and as time has gone on, it seems to be becoming harder and more difficult. And it seems as if the tide of paganism and irreligion is sweeping across the land. And in such circumstances, we might be discouraged. And we might say to ourselves, can God do again what he did in 1951 on this portion of ground? Can God do again what he did in Crossgar 60 years ago? We wonder if there's anything that we can rely on in this day and age when everything is changing. We're looking for something solid, something to build upon, some foundation. Well, the wonderful thing is that we have a blessed and solid foundation. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I want to take this as the motto text for this incoming year. Because here is one who does not change. Here is one who will not change. His power is still the same as it ever was. And this God is still mighty to save in 2011 as he was in 1951 or 1859 or 1 AD or any other date that you care to mention. He is still mighty to save. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there are a number of things in that motto text that I want you to see for a few minutes today. And the first thing I want you to see is the character of Christ. It says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And we can be shocked by what's taking place around us. Well, thank God that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's the same in his pardon. He is Jesus Christ. The name Jesus, of course, means Savior. You remember how he was called Jesus because he would save his people from their sin. And there are actually two words in the name Jesus. There is a contraction of the name Jehovah, and then there is the other part of the name which means salvation. And taken apart, as it were, we have the two names, Jehovah, salvation. Jehovah is my salvation. And thank God the first part of the name reminds us that he's God. He's the great I am. He is Jehovah. I am that I am. Always the same. Always I am. And the name speaks to us of the deliverance from sin. It speaks to us how he is able to save from the guilt and power of sin and give peace of heart. And he's still able to do that, friend. Not only does his name speak of deliverance from sin, but the root of the Hebrew term Jesus, or the Hebrew name Jesus, it has a root which denotes spaciousness. It has the thought of taking someone from a restricted place, a prison house, somewhere where they are not free, and setting them at large. In other words, taking them from the bondage and the prison and setting them free. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is still able to do today. He takes those that are bound and fettered by sin, those that are caught up in the filthiness of their hearts and their souls, bound up in the old habits that they have, that they can't get free from, and he sets the prisoner free. Thank God today that the message that rang out 60 years ago in this community that set so many souls free is still the same message today that we have to proclaim. Not only does that word mean salvation in Jesus, not only does it speak of deliverance and setting the prisoner free, but there's also a connotation in that Hebrew word of prosperity, of richness. It speaks of his riches. And we think of how he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Oh, the riches that God's people have. We mightn't have material prosperity in this world, but we have riches far beyond. We have treasures in heaven where moth or rust cannot corrupt and where thieves cannot break through and steal. He is able to give us all the riches of glory, all the splendors of heaven, all the blessings of eternity. Those are all ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's still the same dear friend in his pardon. He's able to pardon you. He's able to save you. He's able to bring you to himself. He's the same in his pardon. He's also the same in his power. His power has not changed. We think of how he is Jesus Christ. And the word Christ there would speak of him as the Messiah or the Anointed One. And it indicates his power. And it also indicates that he occupied the three offices for which anointing were necessary. He's a prophet, he's a priest, and he's a king. All those were the offices that needed anointed. And he is the anointed king. Psalm 21 verse 3 we read, thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. We read in Philippians 2 verses 9 and 10. God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And thank God today that he is the mighty God of heaven. He is the king. He's the ruler. He's the governor. The one before whom we must bow. The one who has the right to rule you. Oh, let us obey him today. He is the anointed king. But not only is he the anointed king, he's the anointed priest. He's the one who made the infallible sacrifice, the once for all sacrifice for us on the center cross of Calvary. He offered an offering once for all. Thank God, a perfect, complete, never to be repeated sacrifice there on the center cross of Calvary. And dear friend, we can place our eternal welfare in the hands of our great high priest, because he's ever the same. He'll never let us down. He will never turn away. He will never stop what he's doing. He's the anointed priest. And he's the anointed prophet. The prophets also needed to be anointed. We think of Elisha when he was succeeding Elijah, and we're told that there was anointing oil that Elijah took and anointed him as prophet in his stead. And in Acts 10 and verse 38 it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we read of this, Isaiah, how he prophesied, the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Thank God, his power is still the same today. He is still proclaiming that message of good news. He's still proclaiming that way of salvation, that you can come, you can have your sins forgiven, you can be transformed by the grace of God. Dear friend, if you come today in 2011, he's still mighty to save. Not only is he the same in his pardon and the same in his power, but he's the same in his person. You know, that does not mean that he does not change his ways of working. The Lord did change. He came from heaven to earth. We could say that was a change. He was incarnated. He took upon him flesh. We think of times in the Bible when he is displeased with his people and times when he is pleased with his people. We think of times when it says that the Lord changed his mind, as it were, from our perspective. He changed his ways of dealing with people. It doesn't mean when it says that he's the same yesterday, today and forever, that there are not times when he's pleased with you and times when he's displeased. You know, the charismatics and the Pentecostals use this text as a great justification for their healing ministry. And they say because Jesus healed in this way in the past, well, that's got to be the way that it always is. That's not what it means. He can change his ways of working. He can change the ways that he does things. But what it does mean is that he's the same in his attributes. He's still as holy as he ever was. He's still as merciful as he ever was. He's still as gracious as he ever was. He's still the same God in goodness, truth, mercy, grace, all these things that mark him out. He's still the same holy God of heaven. He's the God before Abram bowed. He's the God before whom Adam bowed. He's the God before whom the apostles came into contact. He is still the same today. There's no change, and by God, and the fashions of men may change. And human opinion may be manipulated. And people can change in their values and their qualities. But his attributes are ever the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we see something here of the character of Christ. But then I want you to see something else. I want you to see the comfort of Christ. Because when we contemplate the fact that the Lord Jesus is ever the same, it brings great comfort to our hearts. Indeed, you can see that in the context of the verse. If you look at verses 5 and 6, he says, "And be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." And then he says it is the same yesterday, today and forever. And he says, this God has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The God who's always the same. He will never change. He'll never let you down. He'll be there with you throughout this year that is about to take place. No matter what takes place, whatever may befall, he is there. And he's not concerned by the circumstances. You know, circumstances can come round the corner for us that change our plans. You know, there are things that we have set out for ourselves down through this year. We have planned a gospel mission. Some of you have been thinking about maybe your summer holidays. Some of you have been planning for weddings. Some of you have been planning for maybe special occasions in the family. I don't know. But there are plans that you can make, but circumstances can come round the corner and knock you down. And maybe in this past year there have been circumstances like that, and you weren't expecting what happened, and it knocked you for six. And maybe today even as we are speaking, you're still struggling to get on your feet. You're struggling to get back into the right frame of mind because circumstances have changed your plans and your purposes. Well, the God who's always the same is a God who knows all the circumstances. He's a God who sees what's going to take place this year. He's a God who, for whom there are no unexpected events. He knows what we're going to face. And he's ever the same to rely on in the midst of the unexpected circumstances. Not only is he not concerned by the circumstances, but he's not conditioned by change. You see, we can be conditioned by change. Maybe our knowledge increases. We get to know something we didn't know before. And that changes our opinions. Or technology comes along and it changes the way that we work and the way that we live and the way that we conduct our lives. But the Lord is not conditioned by change. God's responses are never based on ignorance. He always knows. And he is a perfect response for what we're going to face in this incoming years. You know, he is described in the scriptures as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows the end from the beginning. So what we need to do today is just place our hand in the hand of the one who knows the future. We're on a journey this year. And thank God there's one standing by us who's not conditioned by change, nor is he concerned by the circumstances. He's there to be with us, always the same. And then he says he's constantly close. He says in verse 5, "For I said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The God who is ever the same is always by our side. He's there to be with us. He says, yea, the psalmist said, yea, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There to care. There to bless. My brother Stanley got me to read a little portion from that hymn on Friday night that William Cooper had written. I had actually the exact same illustration in my sermon. But we think of William Cooper that day when he went out to commit suicide. He was a man, he was a great hymn writer, a friend of John Newton, as we said on Friday night. But he was a man subject to great dark moods. And he went out and he got in the carriage. He was going to throw himself off one of the bridges in London. And he was going to London Bridge. And he got into the carriage, and it was one of those smogs that came down in those days in London. And the carriage driver didn't know where he was going. And eventually, after a long time, William Cooper began to say, "Well, I'll get out and I'll walk." So he got out to walk, and he found himself on his own doorstep at home. And he realized that God had brought him back. And he sat down and he wrote the hymn, "God moves in the mysterious ways. His wonders to perform, he plants his footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm. O fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings o'er your head." He is constantly close. He can also completely cleanse. If God was able to cleanse in the past, he's able to cleanse today. We come to the start of a new year. Another year has passed for you, dear friend, outside of Christ. Another year has gone by, and maybe you've said to yourself, "I need to get saved." But you're always putting it off. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save today. He's still able to save. The question is, are you willing to come? Are you willing to come? Are you willing to seek the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? He is the only way of salvation. He's the only one who can save you today. He's the only one who can lift you out of the mire of sin. He's still the same. He can completely cleanse. Will you come and will you seek Him as your Savior and as your Lord? We see the character of Christ and we see the comfort of Christ. But also I want you to see in this text of Scripture the challenge of Christ. Because the words here in our text are in a context. And they refer backward in the passage. And they also refer forward in the passage. They refer backward to verse 5. And there's a connection with money. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And then he speaks about men whose faith they were to follow. They were to follow those that follow the Lord Jesus. And then he adds, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. So there's a connection here with money. And then there's not only a connection back to materialism and consumerism, but there's a connection forward. If you look at verse 9, he says, after he said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever, he says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited, that have been occupied therein. So there is a reference back and there's a reference forward. It's very interesting as we look at those two references, because there you have perhaps the two greatest challenges that are facing the modern church. Consumerism, false doctrine. Paul warns in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. But what is the antidote to consumerism? It is to realize that the God who supplied in the past is still the same God today. The Lord was reminding these Israelites that what he had done in the wilderness in supplying them with manna, and what he had done in the past in providing them with the food and the necessary things that they needed, is the same God who can do the same today. We need a faith in God. You know, if we had faith in God, we'd have far less worry about the future. There'd be less tossing to and fro, wondering about what's going to happen tomorrow. If we have faith in God, God will supply our needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus, because He's the same God as He ever was. And then it is the antidote not only to consumerism, but this text is the antidote to false doctrine. Because if He's always the same, if God Christ is always the same, then His doctrine is always the same. You always be wary of somebody that comes to you with some new theological idea or some new theological perspective. There are those today and they speak about the new perspective on Paul. They speak about the new doctrines that they have come across and the new understandings that they have. But Jesus Christ is still the same. And what we need to get to is not the new doctrines and not the new perspectives, but what we need to get to is what Paul preached and what the Bible says. And we continue to preach what the Bible says and what Paul preached and what the Savior preached. And that's the only antidote in this day and generation. And that's the thing that will make the difference in the end to this day and generation. We are under so much pressure to bring our message up to date. And we do need to be up to date in a certain sense of the term. We need to have our message that people will listen to it in this day and generation. Certainly we do. But we don't change the message. We cannot change the message. Because it's the only message, it is the truth that does not change, and it's the message that will save people. 60 years ago, in the mission here, many precious souls were saved. And in 2011, God is still mighty to save. Oh, that he might reach down into your heart. That he might save your soul if you don't know him. And if you are a child of God, let's rejoice. Let's be encouraged today that we serve a Savior who does not change.